them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword, and about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he shouted insults at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we never missed anything when we were in the fields, as long as we were with them. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know this, and consider what you should do, for evil has been decided against our master, against all his house. He is so ill-natured that no one can speak to him." Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs. She led them on the donkeys and said to her young men, "Go on ahead of me. I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she rode on the donkey and came down under the cover of the mountain, David and his men came down towards her, and she met them. Now David has said, "Surely it was a vain that I protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. But he has returned me evil for good. God do so to David, and more so also, if by morning I leave so much as 1 male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she hurried and lighted from the donkey and fell before David on her face, bowing to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Upon me alone, my lord, be the guilt. Please, let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. My lord, do not take seriously this ill-natured fellow, Nabal. For his name is, so he is, Nabal is his name. And folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men, my lord, whom you sent. Now then, my lord, as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, since the Lord has restrained you from the blood guilt and from taking vengeance with your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my lord be like Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my lord be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant. For the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. If anyone should rise up to pursue you and seek your life, the life of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of living under the care of the Lord your God. But the lies of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. When the Lord has done to my lord according to all the good he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you prince over Israel, my lord shall have no cause of grief or pains of conscience for having shed blood without cause, for having saved himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my lord, they remember your servant." David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you to meet me today. Blessed be your good sense, and blessed be you, who have kept me today from blood guilt, from avenging myself by my own hand. For as sure as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had to hurry and come to meet me, truly by morning, there had not been left in Nabal so much as 1 male. Then David received from her hand what she brought him. He said to her, "Go to your house in peace. See, I have heeded your voice, and I have granted your petition." Abigail came to Nabal, and he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has judged the case of Nabal's insult to me, and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has returned the evil doing of Nabal upon his own head." Then David sent and wooed Abigail to make her his wife. When David's servants came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David sent us to you to take you to him as his wife." She rose and bowed down with her face to the ground and said, your servants this day to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Abigail got up hurriedly and rode away on the donkeys. Her five maids attended her. She went after the messengers of David and became his wife. My friends, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So the past 2 weeks, we've been working our way through 1 Samuel and looking at lives of different individuals. And today we'll look at Miss Abigail and the role she played as a peacemaker and how she saved a young David from making a terrible mistake. So it starts out with David and his men and talks about how Samuel has passed away and how all of Israel mourned for him. And David and his men, they're kind of like the Robin Hoods in the story. They're out in the wilderness. David's on the run from King Saul, and we'll talk more about that next week. And we meet a guy by the name of Nabal, and he's married to Abigail. As we say in our culture, Mr. Nabal married above himself. It says the woman was clever and was beautiful, but the man was surly and mean, okay? He got the better end of the deal with that. He got a wife that was pretty and witty. And bless her heart, she got the guy who was mean and green. He just wasn't fun to be around. Okay? Now, Mr. Nabal was a wealthy man. And so what happened was he sent out his shepherds and their flocks away from him out into the wilderness to graze. Okay? So it's kind of like out west, right? We had days of the cow grazing. And that's kind of dangerous, right? Because out west, you get rustlers and cattle thieves and such, trying to steal cattle. But Mr. Nabal had a good neighbor in David. David's men made a point to look after this man's servants and his livestock. It said it was like a wall. So if the rustler came by, they chased him off, might even killed him. And so the whole time they were there, they did not lose a single animal. Now that's impressive because, you know, if you're a cowboy and you got your animals out in the range, it's easy to lose at least one. It wanders off, or some wild animal gets it, some rustler gets it. But with David and his men, they had a 100% success rate. All the animals that went in the field came back out. No loss. That'd be like the day you had a little store and you did the inventory and everything you looked at was accounted for. I remember back when I did inventory for the Family Dollar, we didn't have that situation. We were always missing stuff for the end of inventory, right? Stuff disappeared. But this man had all his livestock. Everything was there. And so, came time for the harvest, the shearing of the sheep. Always a fun time. So David sends 10 of his young men, says, go down there and listen to how often he uses the word peace. He says, you shall say to him, peace be to you, peace be to your house, and peace to be to all you have. And so he point out and say, hey, you know, I just want to remind you that while your men were out in the woods here, woods and the forest, we were looking out for them, taking care of them. We protected them, your livestock. And now the time to come to harvest. And we'd be appreciative if you would be willing to share some of the food and the celebration with us. And so they show up and they tell the boss man that. And what did the boss man says? Who's David? Who is Jesse? Now, we know the guy's lying, right? Because I mentioned earlier, last Sunday, that David is making a name for himself, hasn't he? Saul has killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. That'd be like someone back in the 1950s America saying, who's Ike, or who's MacArthur, or who's Patton? Never heard of him. Yes, you have. You know who that is. That's a war hero, the general. No, you know who David is. He's the guy who took out Goliath, King Saul's son-in-law. You know who this is. And he says, there's many servants today, and why should I take my bread and water and meat to my shearers, give these men? I don't know where they came from. And so sends them on his way. So they come back, and they says, where's the food at? And they said, well, we tell him you sent us. And he said, well, who's David? Yeah, like he never heard of you, boss. He said, why should I share my food with you? I don't even know where you came from. And so David becomes very angry and says, every man strap on his sword. And so the result is he has a little army of 400 men, and he leaves 200 to hold down the fort. Things are looking bad. But one of the young servants of the farm there runs up to the mistress, Miss Abigail. And he says, ma'am, says, David sent some messengers, saluted us, the master. And the master did what? He shouted insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm. And we never missed anything when we were in the fields, as long as we were with them. They were a wall to us both night and day while we were with them keeping the sheep. And he says, you need to do something. No, this is not good. And so what does Abigail do? Well, remember, there's a festival going on, so there's been a lot of food cooked. And she grabs 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep, 5 measures of grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, big old meal. And she bids them on the donkeys and tells the servant, says, you go ahead, I'm coming after you. But she did not say anything to her husband, right? It's easier to get forgiveness than permission sometimes, okay? And I had to do that a few times in my own life where I had to do something and then tell the other person to evolve because I knew they would mess things up, right? And so she goes and she finds King David and she kneels down. And meanwhile, David's thinking, surely it was in vain that I protected all the fellows and stuff in the wilderness. And says, by George, I'll kill every one of his men, every male. But when she sees David, she falls down and says, my lord, listen to me. Let me speak. Do not take seriously this ill-natured fellow Nabal. For his name is so, he is Nabal. Nabal is a Hebrew word, means fool. Hey, David, don't get mad at him. He's a fool. He's an idiot. I sure hate to be the kind of husband where my wife had to go to someone else and say, don't get mad at my husband. He's an idiot. He's a fool. That'd be a terrible thing for my wife to say. But that's what she said, and she was right. And then she pricks the conscience of David. She says, now then, my lord, the Lord lives. You live yourself. The Lord hath restrained you from blood guilt and taken vengeance to your own hands. Let your enemies and those who do evil to my lord be like Nabal. And said, no, accept his present, Lord, and forgive the trespass of your servants. Why? For the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord David is fine in the bowels of the Lord. And evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. In other words, David, I know you're fighting the Lord's battles. No, we respect you. And said, if anyone should rise up to pursue you and seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bone of the living under the care of the Lord your God. And he says, but the lives of the enemies he shall sling out from the hollow of a sling. Okay, you know, she's making a reference right to David and Goliath. Remember, David killed Goliath with a slingshot, right? She said, Lord, if there's any enemies, may they be like a rock and sling, and whoosh, out they go. And when the Lord has done my Lord according to all the good he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you prince over Israel, then you shall have no cause of grief or pains of conscience for having shed blood without cause, or for having saving himself. And when the Lord has dwelt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. And then David says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you to meet me today. David's not mad. He gets rejoicing. He says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Thank God he sent you to me, you know, and called me. Blessed be your good sense, and blessed be you. You have kept me today from blood guilt, from avenging myself by my own hand. Remember what she said? My Lord shall have no cause of guilt or pains of conscience for having shed blood without cause. And David's right. You're right. If I've gone through this, I've had blood on my hands, blood guilt. He said, for sure as Lord God of Israel lives and restrain me from hurting you, unless you have hurried and come to meet me. True, by morning, there would not have been one left in Nabal by as much as one male. And so David receives her gifts and says to her, go to your house in peace. See, I have heeded your voice. I have granted your petition. He said, all right, my dear lady, you go on home. Don't worry about this. We're good now. We're good. So Abigail comes back home, and Nabal's inside his house, and he has a feast like a king. I mean, they're wining and dining. He's feeling good. And they said his heart was merry because he was drunk. And so he's like, well, he's happy. Let's not say anything. And so the next morning when the alcohol wears off, she says, oh, by the way, honey, let me tell you what happened. You remember how those messengers from David came by and asked for some food and you said some unnice things to them? Yeah, what about it? Well, David was coming down the road with 400 of his soldiers with swords looking for you. But I talked to him and I gave him food and gifts. And but my ease, and he's not going to come. Nabal did not consider what a foolish thing he had done. And when he realized that he could have been killed, it said that his heart died within him. It became like a stone. It sounded like maybe like he had a stroke or something where he couldn't move. And then 10 days later, he dies. And when David hears that he was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord, who has judged the case of Nabal's insult to me and kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has returned evil doing and Nabal on his own head. And then on top of it off, Miss Abigail, she's pretty and witty, and now she's single. Guess who gets Abigail for a wife? David. How ironic that the man who insulted David dies, and then his wealth, and more importantly, that wife of his, goes into the hands of David. Now, what's the purpose of this story? Now, the reason the story spoke to me, because I feel like this is what does not happen in our society. The first part happens all the time. This person is mad at this person. They get insulted. And then the next person takes it up a notch, right? And it just escalates. And this side is mad at this side. And he did this. And I'm going to do that. And it just... And then a third person comes in. A peacemaker. Now, the Apostle Paul said, as much as it depends on you, live peacefully with everyone. As Christians, we don't go out picking fights with folks. As much as possible, we live peacefully with everyone. In his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, Paul said, why is it I keep hearing about you all filing lawsuits against each other? He ends by saying, I'd rather you be wronged than be in court filing a lawsuit. He said, that's a terrible testimony. And, of course, Peter in his letter talking about how we should try to respect everyone, you know, including non-believers. And then what did Jesus say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Huh. Now, let's reverse engineer that for a second. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Sounds like if I'm a child of God, then I should be a peacemaker, right? I should be the person in the family, the workplace, the church, the school, the classroom, the Walmart parking lot. I'm the one who's trying to get people to calm down. I'm not trying to put more fuel on the fire, adding insult to injury. This lady was brilliant. And when she realized that her foolish husband had insulted the great warrior, what did she do? She got in the kitchen and told the servants, I need you to put a bunch of food on these donkeys. Servants, get these donkeys out here. Find David before he gets here. I'm right behind you. And then she apologized to David and said, I'm so sorry my husband was running his mouth. Thanks, Mac. Don't hold against him. He's a fool. I know you're doing the Lord's work, but do not make the mistake coming in here and doing this, because then you'll have blood on your hands. And if David had allowed his pride and temper got the best of him, he would have killed innocent people. Innocent Israelites had nothing to do with this. And that could have derailed the plans God had for him to be king of Israel. But when he heard these words, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you to meet me today. Blessed be your good sins, and blessed be you, who has kept me today from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Notice how 1, 2, 3 times he used the word blessed. Now, for Christians, it's blessed are the peacemakers, for we shall be called the children of God. And that's not to say that people aren't going to do wrong to us. Trust me, they will. And you have two options. Option number one, you can love them, forgive them. Option number two, you can take things in your own hands. Option number two is very tempting, isn't it? He did this, now I'll do that. He did that, I'll do that. She said this. And when you do that, you look no taller, no better, no godlier than the folks who harmed you, do you? Because then their folks look at it and go, well, she's just as bad. He's just as bad. Look what they did. Instead, we don't do that. We don't seek vengeance. And what did Paul say about vengeance? Not to go after it. Why? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I can assure you, if someone has wronged you, the Lord can do a much better job of getting vengeance than you can. You do it, you get yourself in trouble, your family, your friends, maybe even the police. Don't do it. Love and forgive them. Move on with it. And they wronged you. Say, Lord, this person wronged me. I won't forgive them. They're in your hands. And you allow the Lord. And he may punish them. He may convict them. Whatever he does, it's his business. So what about us this morning? Who are we? Are we Nabal, being ungrateful and insulting people? Are we like the young David, getting insulted and get angry, want to do something rash, violent, without thinking about the consequences? Or are we like Abigail, the woman of common sense, a godly woman who had the courage to go out to David and say, my Lord, don't do this. You're about to make a terrible mistake. Don't do this. The Lord's going to make you prince of Israel, and he'll take care of your enemies. Don't do this and shed innocent blood. Now, all of us should have a go in our lives. Lord, make me a peacemaker. So when others look at me, they'll say, there's a child of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.